Hello everyone, welcome to the Change Your Heart podcast. Today is exciting because this is the second run of the podcast. This is episode number 22, Stillness with Don Nathy. I go into the beginning of this episode with how we met because it really was a special time for me. I just wanted to say right now that Don has been a mentor of mine and a very good friend of my wife Ann and I. And I know you will connect with him as well, and you will feel connected in the same way. Stillness. This episode brought up so many awesome points, so many awesome things to think about. But one thing that really stuck with me is that I have the ability to create my own space of stillness. I have the ability to designate a place in my house to call my own, and a place where I can be there for 5 minutes, if that's all it takes, to sit there and to dream and to really get excited about life and the things that I'm grateful for and appreciate. Don wrote a wonderful blog post that's on changeyourheart.net. I encourage you to take a look at it and to comment. If you get anything awesome out of this episode or something that he wrote, please comment about it and really start that conversation, and let's all benefit off the little things that we all know. I look forward to seeing you guys again in future episodes, and especially with this one, enjoy the stillness. We are the seekers of creativity and community. We work together, collaborating and uplifting each other to new heights. We are vulnerable and comfortable enough to get deep in our hearts. We understand there is abundance for all. We are fluid. We tell stories. We listen and we support. We shape and materialize our world into a safe place to explore. We are doing this together. All in our own way. We are Change Your Heart. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Change Your Heart podcast. I'm your host, Brent, and I'm here with Don Nathy. Don has been a friend that we've been on and off of contact for the last 7 years now. And I met Don in a very pivotal part of my life. It was at the moment that Ann and I decided to move to Brazil. It was during a trip that I met Don. And during this transformative time, Ann and I just received the energy and the willpower to break free of the patterns that we've been doing for so many years and the things that we've been doing for so many years and make a big change. And so we moved to Brazil, and Don, we've kept in contact for 7 years now. And I know you have been going through a lot. Well, welcome, Don. Welcome.
Thank you, Brent. Thanks for having me. I appreciate and look forward to this conversation.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So we'll get into all the things that you've been into. Let's dig into it. Let's dig into it a little bit.
Sure.
Intuitive healing touch.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
You like that title? Yeah.
I do. What are you envisioning? What have you created? What is the space intuitive healing touch?
So intuitive healing touch is, I hate to call it a business, it's a practice, a healing practice that I started, back 8 or 9 years ago. when I was studying Reiki energy work, became a Reiki master and practiced that along with quantum touch, another healing modality, hands-on healing modality for, gosh, 5 or 6 years. Had a nice client base, but always felt like there was something more. And so during the course of practicing Reiki in some volunteer situations, we ended up treating some musicians at the Monterey Jazz Festival here in California, and came upon a cranial sacral therapist and got reintroduced to that modality, did an exchange with her, and saw that that was something that I needed to learn about, asked when I could, or how, you know, how to go about that. And she let me know that there was a training session just starting up that week. And so it was meant to happen. And so I joined that class, and after 2 years of study and training, I became a registered cranial sacral therapist about a year and a half ago, something like that. So so now that is most of what I do. I integrate a little bit of Reiki, some quantum touch, and some other modalities into the treatment. But by and large, it's cranial sacral therapy that I perform.
And what was it about it? What was the difference? What was the draw?
Yeah, so the cranial sacral therapy focuses more on an external entity, on a spiritual basis for healing. It right away in the first chapter of the first book I picked up talked about an energy called the breath of life, which pretty much translates into an aspect of God, source, whatever you choose to call the one. Mm-hmm. But I tend to look at this breath of life as the nurturing component, the spiritual, supportive breath that keeps everything that has been created, all of us, breathing and acting and healing in this life. So when I started to read about the breath of life and that the notion that we are all being breathed, just like the universe is being breathed continually.
Breathed.
Every living organism is being breathed, not by virtue of anything that it is that we are generating ourselves, but by an external force. And looking at movies of slime mold protoplasm and watching the fluid flow 50 seconds in one direction and 50 seconds in another, and there's no heart doing that. It's all an external spiritual force. And so it really fit with my spirituality. And so it was a way to tie together my spiritual beliefs with the healing work that I was doing.
Beautiful. You know, something I was really interested in when you prepare for this work, or actually, how do you prepare for this healing space? I know for a fact you're in Santa Cruz, which is a very beautiful area. And other than the location of just being an incredible source of energy and beauty, how do you set up your space to?
Well, the primary thing, and this is a great intro, it's stillness. It's using that. That's my word for this conversation. And so in order to get into the right frame of, I don't want to say mind, but in the right framework to support the client, to facilitate the healing, there's a whole alignment process, a meditative process that I go through to find my what's called practitioner neutral, so that I can show up as a attentive presence without imparting any of my stuff on the client, so that I can listen more clearly with my hands, with my heart, in a non-intrusive way, so that I can be just that witness make, bypassing the client's mind, be able to be present with the body and with the nervous system, so that the client can then release any stored up trauma or inertia that they're carrying from a psychological trauma or a physical trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about, it really is about becoming still. And so meditation helps, but just setting that intention to be aligned.
That's so nice. So a cleansing, just a cleansing, and you called it a practitioner neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And anything you do with your space?
So that my healing space here,
yeah.
That I'm sitting in. So this is my my little healing temple. No, I try to make it a safe and comfortable place for the client to arrive, so that there's no. It's very comfortable. Lots of space to sit to talk about why they came, what they're bringing with them that day that needs to be worked on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's open to a little green belt of nature, so that it has a calming, natural view as well. So, but I do put on some soft music and light some candles and go through a little meditative relaxation process.
Mm-hmm.
To help them fully arrive and feel safe on the table.
Stillness. What made you come up with stillness?
For my word today?
Yeah.
I think it's very central. It's central in so many ways. But it is crucial to the healing process. So, finding that zero point of energy field, finding that place where that's absent of any agitation, any thought, you know, any mind interference,
mm-hmm.
Is crucial to allowing the body to repair and regain its intrinsic health. We're all born and live with a divine blueprint that our body is continually 24/7 trying to return us to, no matter what we go through and what we put ourselves through, stressors and agendas and all sorts of traumas that we introduce to ourselves. there is that intrinsic health that's always present, that our bodies are, as amazing healing machines, are trying to return us to. But it takes moving out that interference and thought.
That brings up, that sounds great, Don. How do I, you know, I'm moving and I'm working and I come home and I got the family and I, you know, what is that I'm looking for? What is that stillness? Where, how would I even start with finding it?
Find yourself a place that you can even if you have to turn your back to the room and find a corner, if you're living in one room, it's a little harder, but most people have a space that they can meditate. And I know you do meditate and do prayer. And so it's sitting down with that intention and asking the source, the universe, to support you in isolating your being from all external noise and interference. And the power of your being is such that you can command that. The interfering energies must obey your intention and your prayer. You have control of your space, and you can create a bubble that is impermeable from all interference if you will that.
Making the intention to just be still.
Create the space and make that intention, yeah.
Uh-huh. So then when I am still, what am I feeling? Where am I going? What am I feeling in that stillness?
Well, that's kind of up to you. But I'm going to say that stillness is a portal. A portal to everywhere, to the divine, really. If you can get into the stillness and move into your higher self, your spirit, your soul, then you are connected to all that is. And you're also connected to every other living being. Mm-hmm. And through that zero point, through that stillness, that divine still point, we all have it, and we can instantaneously be linked to every other being on the planet. But it also, more broadly, can connect you to all that is,
mm-hmm.
just source energy. That's the portal in.
What came up a few times in my head as you were talking about that is community, is family, and just being part of something bigger. I know family is very important to you, how do you experience community as we work towards after the COVID and as we go forward? Do you see things changing in that way?
I think a lot's going to change. I think a lot has already changed. I don't believe that we're going to be going back to the old norm, the old normality. This has been... it's been a curse and a blessing. I think I like to focus on the blessing of what all of this has created, in terms of slowing down,
mm-hmm.
in terms of cleaning up, having more space to go inward,
mm-hmm.
more space to create. I think you're experiencing that right now.
Yeah. Yes.
Getting back to your calls. So in the future, I think it is going to be different. We will cherish, I think, the connection even more. I think humans are made to hug. I think this is that part will return. You know, mm-hmm. we will get to where we feel safe being around loved ones. And less in fear. I think the fear has been, for some useful purposes, has been heightened to try to get more people to comply. But I think as that fear diminishes, and we more better understand the disease itself, the virus, then we'll be able to more fine tune our interactions with people.
Mm-hmm.
I still am fortunate to live with a beautiful partner, Lisa, and we are able to have more space to do meditative practices. I'm in another meditation groups on Zoom. And so it is an opportunity to, again, go deeper within and find out more about who you really are and why you came. And for me, coming into my second career here since my wife of 42 years left her body about 10 years ago, and I went from being a Silicon Valley executive to a healer. It was an opportunity for me to finally find my divine purpose.
Yeah.
So I'm convinced that one of the main reasons I came to the planet this time was to be a healer. And I can feel it every time I have my hands on a client and feel as if I'm holding their soul in my hands. It's divine joy.
Yeah. That's an incredible way to be creative and feel your passion and just the reason that you're here helping others. I really think that it's turning into a world where there's no one person has an advantage over the other. It's everyone has their ability to help each other out, to give these little tidbits of knowledge and to just help each other. There's abundance for everyone. I'm feeling more and more as this time is going by.
Amen. And you said it. Nobody has anything on the other. Everybody has something to contribute.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt that when you were talking about how you felt working with a client. And where do you see it going now? Where do you see your purpose and your draw? Do you see it more going virtual? Do you feel like you can do these works over Zoom, over these tools that we have now? Or is it, do you really enjoy the one-on-one personal hands-on work?
Yeah, I apologize if my internet's going in and out, not sure. Yeah, I much more enjoy the in-person treatments. It feels like I'm better. I lost you. Are you able to hear me?
No, you're there, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I see a message come on here said you've lost the internet. Yeah, I feel like I'm much more capable of listening to the client's systems in person rather than remotely. I have used the remote telephone as time and Zoom for people who can't get here and are in a lot of pain and have had some degree of success with that. So it's a nice tool to have in an emergency when somebody's on the other side of the country. Yeah.
I wanted to talk to you about Love Letters for Humanity. I read it on your website and I was wondering about the process, how this came up. What were the circumstances when you decided to write this down or to say this?
Yeah, it's hard to explain. I was just inspired to do automatic writing. I'd been reading about it, studying about it, and wanted to experience it. The first time I did automatic writing was when I wrote the song, you know, Remembering the Agreement. That was the first thing that I did. And it's just a process of going into meditation, asking to be to be downloaded with the information that my higher self or ultimately source wants to communicate through me. Mm-hmm. And I sat in meditation, asked for that to happen, and listened and things come in bursts, little 3-word increments, or maybe just a flash, sometimes an image that you need to translate and write down. But so it's a process of writing as fast as I could, all the information that would come down, and asking source, what does humankind need right now? And so once I have written down all of the bursts of phrases, then I'll go back and make complete sentences out of them. So that's the process.
I feel like I've been able to be able to write things more smoothly. Like things have been, I guess I've been using my intuition more, or my just automatic writing in a way. I don't know much about automatic writing, but it feels like I'm able to flow a little bit more. And is that sort of the idea of it? It's a way of connecting to.
Yeah, I think that people have talked about being inspired when they wrote in the past. Automatic writing is something that various people have specifically labeled it, but it's just opening yourself up to be inspired from something greater than yourself, mm-hmm. and to write it down as you hear it.
I feel like I've been able to write more lately. I feel a bit more, I guess, connected, like you're saying, or I feel like the flow is better.
Yeah.
And I also thought that it was very important to start writing things down more. As far as journaling, I haven't gotten that far as journaling yet, because it's, for some reason, it's a very difficult thing for me. But just if it's little notes, if it's something that I'm watching, I write a comment about it. I've been really trying to, like, if I watch something on YouTube or something, to make a comment of something that I enjoyed during the show. And it, for some reason, it amplifies what I thought was cool with it, or the positive in it. And so that's as far as I've gotten with.
What I will tell you is that once you start writing, mm-hmm. And it flows, and then you look at what you wrote, you'll be amazed. You know, if like I was thinking, who wrote this? You know, and it wasn't Don, but it was my higher self. Some, you know, my consciousness, my larger self, if you will. That came with this message, and it was very cool. So I ended up doing it 3 times because every time something new came in. And after I wrote the third one, I felt done for a while.
Yeah,
maybe we'll do it again in the future.
What I was thinking with it and your other posts, I was really seeing a book in the future.
Oh,
thinking of anything like that.
Well, that's ominous.
It's ominous. It sounds big, but have you considered it?
You know, I think if something happened where I had enough of those downloads to make it a book, I'd staple together and publish it or something. But I think it's not a you know, writing a book is not a a passion or a dream that I have right now. And it feels more, that would feel more like a stressor, you know, to get it out and get it done. But But that's what I like, putting it on my website, intuitivehealingtouch.com, you know, and just letting people see it that way and adding to it as time goes by.
Yeah, not getting out of your stillness. You gotta, can't put those stressors on you. But how do you, I think we got cut out during that part, but how do you see things as you move forward and what you're going to be creating and what kind of community you want and who you want to gather together? There's a lot of questions all in one, but who do you see your, who do you picture your community, your, the people you're with as you move forward?
Well, I am a part of a community here in California, Northern California, and I see that circle growing. We have, you know, small groups that that meet, and we have great exchanges about spirituality and evolution, consciousness. And so I'm really quite satisfied with that. At the same time, I like the word of mouth about my healing practice getting out, so that I would love to stay busy and get back to the more of the schedule that I had before COVID arrived, and then to do more writing and put more on my creative expressions page, and invite feedback. So I'm quite happy at this stage of my life to just have those aspirations.
What do you invite feedback? That's an interesting one, isn't it?
I'm open to a conversation about things that I write. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking for, somebody to agree or start an argument about it, but just to, I'm interested in other people's thoughts about what I put down.
Yeah.
I trust the universe will, provide me with, useful, feedback. From
different conversations, different ways of thinking about it. I think it's very similar to this podcast and to what we're doing here. And it really is just bringing up different things, just bringing up different ideas and just talking about it.
There's no one right way, of doing anything, Mm-hmm. We all come with our unique, we're all unique expressions of soul consciousness, we're all one, and at the same time we're all we all have individual perspectives of how we see the world and how to make sense of it, and we're on different journeys, different paths, all circling back to be one again in kind of the melting snow. We're all individual snowflakes. We all melt back into the same stream, and then we go through the process again and become unique pieces of water that once again joins the body of water and flowing out to the sea.
It's really nice being with you. It's really nice being in your energy, and when we connected last week and with Anne, it was so wonderful to see your smile, to see you really lit up. And I remembered when we went to go visit you in Santa Cruz about 5 years ago, how it was, you took us a walk down that path, and you were proud of what you created. I mean, you just like you lit up, and I saw you lit up again, and it's just so nice experiencing that, of when you're able to share and when you're able to experience something with someone else. It's really nice feeling being with you.
Same here. I'm so glad you're doing this, Brent. I'm so glad you're restarting again to do this. I've missed listening to your broadcasts. thanks for stepping up to do this. Yeah, no, I love it here in Santa Cruz. It's I hope to never move. It really matches my energy and climate wise, etc. It's a beautiful place. So I like being here, and I love doing what I'm doing.
Thank you so much for the compliment, and I am very excited to do this again. And it was so awesome for you to be part of that before. And when life takes you a different way, and you have different priorities and different thoughts, and this time has really got me back to feeling again that I'm here for something more. I'm here to really start sharing and being with more people, to really just getting out the door, I guess. And
yeah, that's what I meant about that divine purpose. You know, when you feel, when you're on purpose, you can feel it in your bones. You can feel that surge of passion and energy that says, this is what I'm here to do. Mm-hmm. And that's the experience I get in my healing practice. So I know that you light up when you're doing this particular work now. This is phase of your divine purpose.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like a stillness, but it's a little bit more action.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you're able to help somebody, do you feel that stillness? Do you feel that?
Oh yeah.
Peace?
Oh yeah. And you know, stillness is I was thinking about that along with something that Anne said the other day in one of the broadcasts. this stillness is not empty. It's so it's this void that is full of potential. It's this void from which everything emanates. You know, it's where the breath of life comes into being, and so it's a dynamic stillness, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's full of dynamism, even though it appears to be void of any stimulation. It's full of that potential to move to the next thing, to create a new star, you know, from nothing, from antimatter, you know, all of a sudden, you know, something gets created. So, so when I practice and feel that stillness, it's like a meditation for me. It this whole practice, I'm so blessed and grateful to be able to be doing this work in my life, because every session that I participate in, it's like a deep meditation for me. So when it's over, I feel as healed as the person on the, maybe more, as the client on the table. So it's really it's so right, and it's such a blessing for me to have this second career, you know.
Yeah.
And to have it be more purposeful, you know, more on point for me in this lifetime.
Do you feel that that now that you've really started working with people and helping out, that you have needed more help from the outside, or has this been sort of your therapy? I know you just said that it's very therapeutic for you and healing for you when you go through this process with people. Do you feel like you have to go find help more often now, or?
I receive body work. It's very therapeutic for me to do that. I do receive craniosacral therapy from time to time, massage therapy, and but I would say that it is. It does take care of that need in a lot of ways. It is therapeutic for me to perform the sessions. I feel more calm, you know, afterwards. So it really is like having a session myself. It's very nice for me to find this occupation, you know, this path. I'm not aware of being over anxious or, you know, going crazy. So I need to go seek out a healer to calm me down. Mm-hmm. I'm blessed to be living with a healer. And so if I'm ever in out of sorts, I've got some kind of attachment energy on me that is not me. I'm not acting like myself. Boy, she can spot it in a moment. And we'll sit down and identify it and go into meditation and ask to release those misaligned energies, those attachment energies that have decided to hang out in my field to make, you know, just to tag on to some fear or anger or, you know, some misaligned emotion that is not me.
Mm-hmm. So it's I feel very similar having Anne with me. She's a powerful healer, and it's I have this ability to, or this, I'm able to bounce things off her and to really go through things with her. Sometimes, or a lot of times, I feel like it's a lot for her too, to feel like she has all her stuff going on too, but also dealing with my things that I'm like bringing her into. Do you feel like that at all with Lisa, or do you feel like it's?
Yeah, and I think don't sell yourself short. I mean, there's a reason you guys are together. It's not just to take care of Brent.
No, for sure.
I'm sure she's getting a lot of healing back from you, and a lot of feedback, good feedback. When she's out of sorts or what have you.
Yeah.
It's the same with Lisa and I. We're able to spot in each other when things are misaligned and be able to talk through it. You know, there's nothing
that, there's more gentle ways than we have in the past. And
probably, yeah. That's probably true for you and Anne as well. There's nothing that Lisa and I can't talk about, and it's mm-hmm. so good to hear myself say that. You know, there's nothing, there's no holding back, mm-hmm. and
I would like to say that as well. Actually, there's nothing that Anne and I can't talk about. Feel good because it's wonderful being at a place with your partner where that's true. It's priceless.
Just to notice that, you know, we're just in these bodies, in these human spacesuits, you know, that that we're really, you know, this consciousness evolving, ever evolving throughout eternity. And this time around, we picked this sex, gender, this body size and shape, and but we're just having an experience. We're just having a human experience as a spiritual being, a light energetic being. And so to notice your partner as that, in that divine sense, in that spiritual sense, and not get hung up on the personality piece, and start to get into where you disagree, just to kind of like you were saying in one of your last episodes, just laugh at it, you know, say, I'm the best in, you know, most gifted guy, and you got to love me, you know, and yeah, just to take things lighter and notice that we're all just going through this life, you know, walking each other home.
Yeah. I think that's a very important point. It's really trying to take things lighter, trying to move with more ease, with more stillness, with more just, it's really, we're here for a purpose. We're here for a purpose, and we're not here for things just to fall apart in the mall, just like the whole thing go kablooey, right? So there's a little bit of ease with knowing that we're supported.
Yeah.
That we're held up.
Yeah. Just remember that we're here to have fun.
We're here to have fun.
Pleasure. And if we're not having fun, let's figure out why that's not happening. And ask to be rid of it, you know, and by going to that quiet place, going into meditation together, if you're loggerheads, you know, buttonheads, just to sit down and meditate together and get into that quiet space, and so much of it falls away. again, in from that place of stillness, all is love. You know, you can move into gratitude and love, and then you can't be angry anymore. If you can just sit with what you're grateful for, mm-hmm. then there's nothing to be afraid of or to be angry at. It's just love.
Mm-hmm. It's the way you put it, it's really nice. Just, it felt like things dissolved a little bit, like things just, the ease, and it just falls away.
Things dissolve in stillness. That's true.
Yeah. I feel like your word has given us stillness, you know, or very calming effect during this talk, and I really appreciate that in a way. I like it a lot.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Yeah. Too cool, Don. Thank you so much for being with me.
Thank you, Brent. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us in this conversation of Change Your Heart podcast. Until next time, enjoy life and have fun and find that stillness.
Blessings.